Amen. Thank you, brother. This dear brother and I have something in common. We both knew Dr. A.V. Henderson. He was a pastor many years ago at the Temple Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan. And he was a faithful member there. Amen. And when I went to Bible college, A.V. Henderson started the college that I went to. So we sure enjoy the memory of A.V. Henderson. He's now with the Lord, and thank God for that. Well, it is a delight to be with you. How many can hear me really well? Can you hear me okay? Good. I wouldn't ask you to move up, of course, because all of us are creatures of habit. You couldn't listen if you were way up front here, could you? Amen? But I'm delighted to be here to take the place of Dr. Weaver, who is a dear friend of mine. And he's preaching up in Kaufman, Texas this morning. They're without a pastor right now, so he's helping them. I wanted to, this being Stewardship Sunday, I wanted to talk to you about God's order of finance. Now, you folks know this probably better than ever. I didn't know how many people would be in this class, but you are the folks that have led the way down through the years. So I was like, man, if I had known it was going to be you folks, I might have gone in another direction. But I think you'll enjoy it because I'm going to talk about how God would like all of us to do our finances. And you say, you mean God would take over my checkbook if I let him? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he takes over everything. Amen. All that we have is given to us by who? God. So does God own everything? Well, not my finances, bless God. No. No, he owns everything. And he gives us the opportunity to be good stewards of what we possess and to use them for his glory. But finances, God's order of finances is not all about giving to him. And that's important for us to remember. He only told us to give a tenth. Number one, I'm going to give you 4 points. I want you to write them down. Number one, you can write that on the back of your Sunday school paper for next week. There's some room in the back of it, I noticed, you can write on it. So I'm going to just give you a couple things you can think about. And we're going to pray together. I want you to go to Deuteronomy 11:27. Deuteronomy 11:27 and 28. I'll read this passage and then I'll pray, okay? Deuteronomy 11:27 says, "A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day." And a what? Say it. A curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Isn't it interesting that he said, I want to give you blessing if you obey my commandments, and I'm going to curse you if you disobey my commandments. And then in the next verse, he says, don't be turned aside. I command you this day not to go after the gods which you've not known. I think that's interesting. Our Heavenly Father, take your word right now. Make it exciting to us. I really know that you know me. You know all of us. You know our finances. You know everything about us. May we let you rule and reign in our life in every area. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now write number one. Write down the word, the tithe. The tithe. God has an order of finance. Unfortunately, many Christians are imbalanced in their finances. there are many Christians that are in debt. Now, I understand the debt of a house, the debt of a car. But when I was a young preacher, come right in, folks. We're glad you're here. When I was a young preacher, I built up some credit card debt. How many have ever did that? Okay. All right. I feel like I'm not the only one that messed up. I paid interest payments on credit cards. And I'm going to tell you, I never counted it all up. I didn't dare, but I know it was over thousands of dollars over the years. Okay? And I regretted that. You know what the problem was? I didn't allow myself to submit to the commandment of God. And because I wanted things that I didn't necessarily need to have right then, I allowed myself to get into debt. I'll pay it later. Okay? So I wasted money. How many of you have ever wasted money? Okay, all of us have wasted. Some wasted on bad habits. Some wasted on neglecting things. Some wasted on foolishness. And God tells us, I don't want you to allow little gods to come into your life that will mess up your finances. So, being Stewardship Sunday, the tithe is the Lord's, the Bible says. Now, isn't that something? He goes, you give me 10%, and you get to keep 90%. That's basically what he's saying. And there are many verses here. Genesis 14:20, he said to Abram that he gave him a tenth of all. So, if it's $1,000 a week, how much belongs to the Lord? Okay, $100, right. If it's $1,000 you made in the week, $100 belongs to the Lord. If you make $100 a week, $10 belongs to the Lord. You can figure that all out. You just look at what you had that came in, and then you say, okay, 10% of it, if you get paid on a monthly basis or a bi-monthly basis. I got to tell you a really neat story. We did a give it all, it was a tithe Sunday is what we had when I was a pastor. This is really interesting. I had a lady in the church get really mad at me. Boy, she came up to me and she said, Brother Knickerbocker, I can't believe you're making me give my whole paycheck. I said, no, only the tithe of your paycheck. Give your tithe, just the tithe. She goes, yeah, but I only get paid once a month. She thought she had to give 4 weeks of tithe on one Sunday. I said, sister, let me tell you something. Don't give anything on Sunday. She looked at me like, what do you mean don't give anything on Sunday? I said, God loveth a cheerful giver. She goes, Pastor, she said, now I understand. I'll give 1 week's tithe of my 4 week check. Got it. She got scared. So don't get scared about it. Amen. You can never outgive God. He will bless you more than you're a blessing to him. I can guarantee you that. How many know that to be true? Certainly we do. A sacrifice that you make will always be rewarded by God if it's given in a right heart and the motive's right. Remember, Ananias and Sapphira said they gave it all. Remember that? But they kept back some of it for themselves. They didn't do very well that next Sunday, did they? God struck them both dead. So I think we better, and that's in the dispensation of grace, which we're living in. So make sure that you're faithful in your giving. The Lord sets down laws to govern his people. And he said, I'm going to bless you if you obey the commandments, and I'm going to curse you if you disobey the commandments. So So the tithe is the Lord's. That belongs to him. And all the tithe of the land, whether it's the seed of the land or the fruit of the land or the trees, it is the Lord's. Deuteronomy 3:9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. Malachi 3, many of you are familiar with that verse of scripture. Will a man rob God? Could somebody be guilty of robbing God? You've robbed me, God said. They said, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse. There he goes, mentioning the word curse again. So you don't want to rob God, amen? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now we give to a local church, don't we? That's where we go every week. That's where we serve. That's where we meet our friends. This is the place where God has given to us. And it's a sacred place, I believe. Your coming to church is a sacred thing. And I'm glad you're here. Because we need church. We need God in our life. And we want to be those that are really walking close to God. And by giving the tithe to the Lord, he will make up the difference. He will provide for you if you put him first. Now, there's some people that say, I can't afford to tithe. And the reason they say that is because they've allowed themselves to get in debt and they don't think they can give to the Lord, so they steal from God to buy other things. And they use the tenth that doesn't belong to them, and then they wonder why God doesn't bless them. So what you do is you put God first. Amen. I love my wife, but I better love God more. Amen. Right? If I love God, I will always put him first in every area of my life. You won't find me missing church unless I'm in the hospital or I'm homesick. Or I'm down at the morgue. One of these days I'm going to be down there at the morgue, right? I can't come if I'm at the morgue. That's a place where they take dead people, okay? You heard about the guy that had cardiac arrest at the church on a Sunday morning? Church is packed. They called 911. They said, we have a man here that has cardiac arrest and we need you to come quickly. Boy, they came. They took out 11 people before they found the one that had cardiac arrest. Some Christians, they just don't have any heart for God. And they live their life putting themselves first, and they don't realize they're under the judgment of God. If you want God's blessing in your life, you've got to tithe. All right, number two. Write down number two. You've got it ready? Number two. The offering. The offering is giving above the tithe. We call it a free will offering. Let me talk to you about the free will offering. The Bible talks about it in the book of Ezra, chapter 1. Would you turn there with me to Ezra? Can you find it? Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Ezra, there it is, chapter 1, verse 4. Notice with me, and whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the man of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods, and with beasts beside the free will offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. So he wants you not only to give a tithe, which you owe, but then he wants to give you an opportunity to give in a free will offering. Just give whatever you want. Make it $1. Make it $10. Make it $100. Whatever you want to do. Now, if there's a need, let's say there's a need in the church, and we have a family that's struggling and going through a hard time, you can designate also and say, I want this to go to so-and-so. You give to missions, and your money goes to take care of the missionaries, right? That's sacred money. That money is for the missionaries. That's to take care of our world outreach. The free will offering is to help with benevolence and to encourage people. And the Worth Baptist Church does a lot to help people. And that's part of our giving to the church so the church can do more to reach people. They're reaching pregnant people, right? They're reaching in the many ministries of the church here. That free will offering just gives them a little bit more to help them accomplish the things that we need to accomplish, that we might fulfill the purpose and reason for the church. So a free will offering. Notice it's for the house of God. It's for the Worth Baptist Church. Now we must also give with the right motive too. Well, if that's what God wants, I'll give it. That's not right. You're not going to get the blessing, are you? When you give that way, but if you give with a happy joy, praise the Lord, and I put that money in the plate, not only do I give my tithe, because that's commanded, and I want God's blessing, not God's curse, but now I want to do something above and beyond out of my heart. So one week it may be more than the other week. You may on one Sunday give a $10 above your tithe. Some Sunday you may say, you know what? The Lord blessed me this week. I had a lady got a blessing from God last week, and she sent a postcard, or rather a gift. It was a check for $1,500. She goes, God bless me, so I want to be a blessing. That's free will offering, isn't it? No one told her to do it. I didn't have a clue she even was blessed that way. But guess how I got blessed? Amen. And when I get home, I'm sending at least $300 or $400 of those dollars to go to a preacher in the Bronx that's reaching New York City people. Amen. As you've been given, you give. So the whole point of the free will offering is that I want to see God use me even more than just how he's using me now with the tithe. So that's the second point that God gives. Now you say, now Brother Knickerbocker, you haven't even talked about my finances and what I'm going through right now and all the burdens that I have. Oh, I'm getting into that right now. Basically what I'm saying now is we have done what God has wanted us to do as far as he is concerned in relation to his local church. How does a church stay going? By the faithful giving of God's people. How are people blessed? They're blessed because they gave. Now, I wanted to read a little story to you about a young girl in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. A sobbing little girl stood near a church building, and she had been turned away. Because it was too small, there was no room in the classroom. She couldn't find a seat to sit down, so she decided, I'm going to go back to the apartments, the tenement houses, there where she lived. And as she's coming out of the church, the pastor's walking up to the church. The pastor said, why are you crying? She said, there's no room for me to sit down in my classroom. I'm going home. And he said, no, 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 come with me. And he took her back in and he found her a place to sit down so she could be in the class. So she got thinking about that. And she said, our church needs a Sunday school building. It's amazing. Little children are really smart. Boy, when they give their life to the Lord and they take it seriously, you're amazed at it. So anyway, this little girl, she died. About 2 years later, she dies. And I believe it was of consumption. And the mother came to the pastor and said, my daughter wants you to do the funeral, preach the funeral. And he said, okay, I'd be glad to do it. And she said, I wanted to tell you something. When they moved my daughter's body off the bed, there was a little red purse, a little purse, one of those little click purses, plastic, there under her pillow. And she said, I opened it. And she said, I read it. There was a little note in there and said, Pastor, this money is for the new Sunday school building. And she had saved over a couple of years 57 cents. Well, the pastor, let me tell you where the pastor's was at. He wanted the property next to the church so he could build a Sunday school building, but the real estate was too expensive. And he went to the real estate agent and said, what's the best price you can give me? It was way more than they could pay. Yep, that's right. And so he had said, I guess it's not God's will for us to get that property, right? Well, he got up at that funeral and he told the story about the little red purse. And the news reporter was there and took the information down. And the next day in the paper, it told all about this little girl and how she wanted the church to have a Sunday school building. Are you listening? And guess who read it? The real estate agent. Oh, he thought, man. So he called the preacher and he said, Preacher, you still want that property next to the church there? He said, we do, but your price is way out of whack. We can't even think about get that. He said, how would 57 cents do? That's pretty neat, huh? So he took those 57 pieces, those 57 pennies. He auctioned them off to the church people. He got his deacons together. And he said, now it's time for you guys to raise the money for the building. And there's a plaque in the foyer of the church with the story about this girl and what she had done. Now, you would say, well, what's 57 cents? Well, when God gets a hold of 57 cents, he can multiply it. Can you imagine that? A little girl that has enough faith to trust God to make a difference. How many of you have ever seen buildings at hospitals or libraries where there's the name of a person up there? That person gave literally thousands, maybe millions of dollars to have a wing on the hospital, and they got a picture of them in there. That's what free will giving is. Is you're saying, I want to do something that will make a difference so that when I'm gone, God's work goes on and God's work is blessed. All right, let's do number three. You ready? That's the offering. Number three, let me talk to you about taxes. How many like taxes? Nobody? Did you know that we have a responsibility to pay our taxes? Yes. Oh, my. I was at a church just a few weeks ago, and this little girl, she's a pastor's daughter. She's probably, what, 12, I think. I've got to hurry. I got to be done by quarter of, don't I? I think that's right about the time I need to be done. She said, I don't think the government should be taxing us like they do. And I said, okay. She said, you know what I'm going to do? She said, when I get big enough to buy to build a house, I'm going to find a secret place way out in the country, and I'm going to build a house where they won't know and they won't tax me. I said, you are? I said, did you know you can't build a house unless you get permission from the township? She looked at me like, I didn't know that. She goes, well, if they were going to charge me tax, I think I'll just live with my parents. I thought that was hilarious. Taxes are a responsibility for our benefit. They pick up my garbage. I pay them to pick up my garbage. I pay them for the water to run into my house, and I could go on and on. Our taxes are given to us, and we pay for them. And my taxes just doubled just in the last year. They went from $2,600 to $4,600. Then we found out that my wife, she's going to kill me for saying this, that she was old enough to where we could get the senior citizens discount. Amen. Can I get an amen right there? So my taxes went from $4,600 to $2,600. Boy, a wife is a big benefit. Wouldn't you agree? Amen. Now, we have a responsibility to pay our bills. Matthew 22 talks about that. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, to God the things that are God's. Then number four. Are you still with me? Number four. So we talked about the tithe. We talked about the offering. We talked about the taxes. And now we're going to talk about family needs. Now let me remind you, I didn't say family wants. I want you to remember that. Some people get in trouble with their toys. Right? Can I get one amen right there? You say, some people, they said the one that dies with the most toys is the one that wins. No, the one that dies with the most toys probably has left a great debt. But getting to this point, family needs. The Bible says we're to take care of our families. If we don't, we're worse than an infidel. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I can't understand why husbands would just leave their spouse with children and run off and live another life and do a lot of wicked things. Leave that dear woman to have to deal with all of that. That person's in big trouble. We're to provide for our family. We're to take care of their needs. So after you've given your tithe and your offering, the rest of that is to take care of your family's needs. You have a family budget, something you live by. Most families do not have a budget. They don't know the difference between needs and wants. It's important that a parent make sure their children are well taken care of. Amen. I've seen some pretty dumpy homes with a beautiful pickup truck out front. All their money went into their pickup truck. The house is falling apart. That's a disorder, isn't it? Or all this jewelry or whatever they think is so important, and yet the house is a wreck and things aren't being taken care of and they don't have the money. That's not right. The family needs, all the needs are to be met. Once the needs are met. And I think if you're a good steward and you take care of your family needs the way they're supposed to be taken care of, you will have more left over to take care of some of your wants. God always gives his best to those that leave the choices with him. Let me illustrate it quickly, and I got to quit. When I got married, I didn't even have a vacuum cleaner, okay? And when Ann moved in, we got married, and I carried her across the threshold, hey, man. And she was sweeping the floor, the rug, with a broom. She said, "We need to think about getting a vacuum cleaner." I thought, yeah, that's a good idea. So I said, "We've got some money from the wedding. Let's go down and I'll charge a vacuum cleaner." She said, "Honey, let's pray for a vacuum cleaner." Pray? Pray? We've got the money for it. No, let's pray. So I took her hand and we prayed, "Lord, we need a vacuum cleaner and we'd like you to provide one for us if you would." And I'm thinking, man, I got the money right here. We could go do this. She's saying, let's let the Lord take care of it. So the next day, our neighbor called. And she said, "You know, Ann, we went to your wedding, but we didn't give you a gift. But I have something up here at the house I'd like to give you." She said, "Okay." She goes, "Come on up." So we went up there. There's this beautiful vacuum cleaner. I mean, a nice one. Not what I would have bought. My wife didn't say, "See, I told you so." No, my wife said, "See that? God provided. Your needs." Number 5, debt retirement and savings. You should always try to put some money away. For instance, if you give 10% and then a free will offering to the Lord, take a little bit of that money before you spend it on anything and put it away. Just a little teeny, maybe a dollar, $5, $10, $20, $50. Just put it away and don't spend it. That's called savings, because there's going to come a day when you're going to need it. And if you squander, if you live from paycheck to paycheck, you're going to get caught in a mess. And then you're going to have to charge. And then you're going to be in debt. And if you keep doing that a little bit, then you're going to have interest payments. And how many would rather give your money to the credit card companies or put it in a little savings account? Yeah. Doesn't that make sense? Debt retirement. Prepare for retiring. You say, "Oh man, I'm young, I'm vibrant, I can tackle the world." Well, you can't say that when you're in your 60s and 70s and 80s. Amen. I was trying to figure out how to get to the head of the line out there at the camp meeting, brother. And they said, "Now, we got a little problem here. We got all these young people and younger people going up to the head of the line to eat. So let's let the senior citizens get up there first." How many think that's a good idea? And so I thought, that's wonderful. Well, I wasn't thinking about myself. They said, "Anybody that is 55 and older goes first." So I got up from my seat, and I went like this. I did the nursing home shuffle, amen? Some of those people knew I wasn't that old. I'm 65, so that's pretty good, right? But there's going to come a day when I'm going to struggle to get around. And I need to be prepared so that I can take care of myself and not be a burden. And you do that by putting something away for your retirement. Now, how many believe those are all good ideas? They come straight from God. When you do what God wants you to do, God's blessing is going to be there. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that all of us would reevaluate and think about how we're doing things with our finances. May our finances have God's approval upon them. May we not be wasters. Oh God, help us to realize that what you give to us is a gift, and it's to be We're to be good stewards of it. And may we really honor you with our lives. Bless the tithe Sunday coming up. Oh God, help everyone here to learn how great it is when God orders our finances. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.